Last week, we talked about being doers of the word. If you didn't get a chance to hear that message, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. You know, it's by actually putting into practice, you know, what the Bible says in our lives and actually doing the things that it says to do that produces the growth and the change that, you know, people want to see in their lives. The change that they're looking for. Today, I'm going a different direction. You know, we talked about Paul 1 week and Peter 1 week. Last week, we talked about being a doer of the word. Today, I want to talk to you about something that I know everybody in the church needs, not even people in the church, but everybody in the world needs. And I believe it's something that everybody should be doing. You know, whether you're a man or a woman, young or old, everybody needs this, and I believe everybody should be doing this, and that is encouragement, encouraging one another. You know, we all need encouragement from time to time. You know, even opening up before we ate tonight, you know, Josh was speaking on people that he knows that need encouragement right now, and I think we all need encouragement. You know, I know we come to church to worship together and to learn more about God and to hear God's word preached, and all that is good. You know, well, it's better than good. That's great stuff. But we should also come to church to encourage one another and to love one another and to lift each other up. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, in verses 23 through 25, I know y'all heard that verse where it says, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But, you know, that's not just talking about coming to church. If we read those verses, it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So it is important to come to church, not only to learn more about God and to worship together. You know, it is important to do those things, but it's also important to come together so we can motivate one another and to encourage one another. You know, we can watch a sermon from home on our TV, but it's not that easy to motivate yourself at home. And there's nobody there for you to motivate either. And it's not that easy to encourage yourself at home. And, you know, if you're at home, there's nobody there for you to encourage. You know, we can't replace the encouragement that we get from other people or the motivation we get from other people by staying home and watching a sermon on TV. You know, they're just no replacement for genuine human contact and actually talking to other people and fellowshipping with other people and laughing with other people. And, you know, I know that not everybody can get out and come to church. I understand that. Some people are sick or are just not able physically to get out and go places the way they want to. That's why we put the message online and on YouTube so they can be part of the church too and be involved as well. But I do believe that a lot of people have drifted away from God during this COVID season. You know, I see people in Walmart or in restaurants and, you know, just different places. And you say hi and they say, yeah, I just don't feel comfortable going to church yet because of COVID. But if church is the only place you're not going because of COVID, COVID is not the problem. I believe that during the months that we couldn't gather together because of COVID, many people have drifted away from God, and they've let their relationship with God grow cold, and their relationship with the people of God grow cold. You know, they were no longer part of a group, and that's a dangerous place to be. We need people around us to motivate us and encourage us. You know, we drift away from God when we don't have the fellowship with other believers that we have when we get together. And we don't have the motivation and the encouragement that we need from each other. You know, we need people around us to encourage us and to motivate us to keep living a godly life so that we don't fade right back into the life we had before we came to Christ. You know, we've all had a really rough year, you know, not only with the COVID, but with other things here in the church. And, you know, everybody, I believe, has dealt with depression and anxiety and worry and all those types of things. And like Josh preached on Sunday, that survey that he was talking about said that those things are at an all-time high because of it. There's a lot of hurting people out there, you know, and maybe you're one of them. And I know some people have had it worse than others. You know, I know people right here in the church. I know a guy that lost his wife suddenly. You know, she went to work one morning, and she got killed at work. And his daughter, not long after that, lost her husband to cancer. I know of another family here in the church. One of the guys that was coming here and going to one of the small groups because he was dealing with some problems, you know, because of COVID, we did have to shut down, and he didn't have anybody to talk to. So he wound up taking his own life and leaving his family without a dad or a husband. So, you know, everybody has had a tough year, and we need each other to encourage one another. So we all need encouragement. You know, depression and anxiety and all that stuff is very real, and it's important for us to help one another with it. I know some of the darkest times I had in my life when I really needed help, you know, when I was at the point where I didn't have any hope and I was depressed and all I could focus on was my problems. You know, I just couldn't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I couldn't see a way out of it, or I couldn't see, you know, any kind of future at all. And almost every time, God would put somebody in my life, not to help me. I mean, there were a lot of people that stood up and did help me. Don't get me wrong, but every time I wound up in a place like that, God would place somebody in my life that was falling apart themselves. And I know God put them there for me to help them. And in helping them, it took my mind off of my problems and started getting me back on my feet. And most importantly, it took my hands off of my problem. You know, when we're trying to fix things ourselves, we don't allow God to work in our lives. But when we're helping someone else, it gets us out of the way for God to do what he needs to do in our lives. I know a lot of times things would be just really bad in my life, and I would be trying to fix it. And, you know, if we just let go and let God do what he needs to do, most of the time the things that we're trying to fix, he wants to remove. You know, it shouldn't be in our life to start with. But a good example of us helping someone else when we're going through problems of our own, to allow God to do what he needs to do. There's a good example in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. In Matthew chapter 10, that chapter is about Jesus is preparing his disciples. He's going to send them out two by two. I know y'all probably know that story where he sent them out and he said, don't take any money or anything with you. And, you know, if they accept you, then bring the gospel into their house. If they don't, then dust off your feet and go on to the next town. And that's real famous, but everybody overlooks this verse. Right after he sent them off, the very next verse in Matthew 11, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed to teach and to preach in their cities. So when you're out doing God's work and doing what God has called you to do, and helping and encourage other people, God is working on your stuff, just like Jesus went to their cities, you know, to preach and to teach in their towns so that their families weren't left out. And God does that in our lives today. And, you know, I've seen God do some amazing things in my life once I got myself out of the way and let him do what he wanted to do. And once God has done something in your life, that enables you to do it in somebody else's life. You know, God don't help us just so we'll be okay. I think a lot of the hard times that we go through, we don't need to just be focused on how do I get through this. We need to focus on what God is showing us while we're going through them. It says in the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ." So when God helps us through something, it's not only to get us through it, it's so that we can learn how God handled that situation for us. So when we know somebody that's going through the same thing that we went through, that we can show them how to get through that in a godly way. You know, like I spent most of my life battling alcohol. You know, I was a bad alcoholic, but God delivered me from that. So now I turned around and I try to help people that are going through that themselves. And that helps me. You know, not only does it help them when I show them what God did for me and the steps that I took to actually get my life changed, but it helps me. You know, it keeps my focus off of my problems. And it keeps me accountable. It holds me closer to God. So God don't help us just to be helping us. He helps us so we can turn around and help other people. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, is talking about, you know, how we speak. It says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." So our speech should be to encourage people. You know, in the King James, it says to lift somebody up, to edify one another. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's why it's important for us to fellowship, to get together with our church family, because, you know, the more we're around godly people, the more our spirits are in tune with godly things. You know, when we get together, it's way less likely for us to be standing around telling dirty jokes or something like that if we're with our church family than if we're hanging around in the world, you know. And the more we hang around ungodly people, the more we become like them. So I think it's very important for us to, you know, for the crowd that we hang around with to be godly people. And the best place to do that is in church. You know, it says in one place in the Bible that Lot was a righteous man, but he was vexed every day because he lived in Sodom. You know, and he lived around all those ungodly people. It took its toll on him. You know, we talked about that just about a month ago. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. It says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." In the same way, you know, we have to be friendly to have friends. We have to be encouraging to be encouraged. It also says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 that iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So, you know, if you see your friend is downcast or depressed or, you know, having a bad day or whatever, then you can cheer them up. And if you're having a bad day and you get around your friends, they can cheer you up. You know, it's important to get around one another. I know for me, if I'm at home and I'm depressed, I can't cheer myself up, you know. A depressed person can't cheer up a depressed person. But if I get around my church family and other believers, you know, they'll notice if I'm having a bad day, you know. They'll lift me up and help me get out of that. I'd say most of you have probably heard about Barnabas. You know, he's real famous about being an encourager in the Bible. he wasn't born with the name Barnabas. He was born with the name Joseph. But he was so encouraging the people in the church that all the apostles changed his name and changed his name to Barnabas. And his name actually means son of encouragement. I'll read that to you. It's in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. It says, for instance, there was Joseph, one of the apostles, nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So he didn't start out an apostle. He was a Levite from the tribe of Levi. And you remember us talking about the law a few weeks ago. He would have been working for the church in that time, the tribe of Levi. All the tribe of Levi worked, you know, in the service of the Lord in the church. So he would have been under the law, but you know, he was there on the day of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit fell on him too. And when he got full of the Holy Spirit, you know, he left the law. He left that church and he started following Jesus and he started encouraging people. So they changed his name from Joseph to Barnabas, and he became an apostle. They made him an apostle. And not only was he an encourager, believe it or not, church people back then had arguments too. And there's an account in there of him trying to resolve an argument that was in the early church. In Acts chapter 15, they had been on a missionary journey, and Paul and John Mark had gotten into an argument, and they were fixing to go out onto another missionary journey. And I'll just read you the account. It says, Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch. They and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord there. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated, and Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. So not only was Barnabas an encourager to the church, he also was a peacekeeper. And I think we should do the same thing, you know, when we have arguments, instead of, you know, gossiping and dividing and turning into cliques and stuff, we should just agree to disagree and not stop doing the Lord's work. You know, we can still serve God and have disagreements, but, you know, eventually we'll work those out. But I don't think we should get to the point where we let our disagreements stop us from doing what God wants us to do. You know, it's amazing to me how just a kind word to somebody will change their whole day. You know, it'll put a smile on their face and just bring them right out of depression if they're having a bad day. Most people don't have anybody speaking life into them. They don't have anybody saying, you know, good job or anything like that, you know. Most people are negative. If you go out to town and stuff, people are rude. They don't have anything good to say. So when you're saying something good to somebody, that's really powerful stuff. You know, it's just like, I used to say, just like telling a single mom, you're doing a great job. But, you know, there's a lot of single dads out there too. But if you tell a single mom or a single dad, you know, I really don't see how you do it. You know, you're doing a great job, and I admire you for that. That does a lot for them. And, you know, that might be the thing they need that week to keep them from turning their back on their kids, like a lot of people are doing. You know, you see so many grandparents these days raising their grandkids because their kids are not raising them themselves. You know, they either get strung out on drugs and wind up in jail, or they just don't want nothing to do with the kids. They're cramping their style. And you know, it's good to remind the grandparents too. You know, thank you for what you're doing. I really admire that. You know, people need to hear that they're doing a good job. And we need to tell them when we notice them. You know, it's one thing to think it, but thinking it don't help them any. But when you tell somebody they're doing a good job, it really does make a big difference in them. And our kids too. You know, if you see a kid doing something good, tell them you're doing a good job. Encourage them. You know, it builds up their self-esteem. You know, that might be the only time that they hear that they're doing a good job. They might not be hearing that at home. You know, I hear grown men all the time, you know, in the jail or prison or whatever, and they say they wound up there because nobody ever told them they were doing a good job. Nobody ever told them, you know, I love you, or motivated them or encouraged them. And I think we see a lot of that too in marriages. You know, husbands ought to be telling their wives, you know, you're a good wife, you're doing a good job. Or the same thing with the wives should be telling their husbands, you know, you're doing a good job as a dad or a husband or whatever, and give them encouragement and motivate them. That's what changes people. You know, showing them what they did wrong or complaining when they do something wrong, that don't inspire anybody to do better. But when you tell them, I believe in you and I think you're doing a great job, that motivates people. And I also think that helping other people fires up the Holy Spirit in us. You know, like I said, when I was going through a lot of problems and I would help somebody else, that does it. It makes you feel good when you help somebody else. I believe it wakes up the Holy Spirit in you. You know, I know my mom, she does a lot of stuff for other people, and it makes her so happy. She gets so excited when she is able to help somebody. And, you know, maybe it's nothing that big, you know, just take them to the doctor or just sit and talk with somebody. And that brings her joy. And it does me too, you know, when I help somebody. If you've never helped anybody, I would recommend it. But those of you that have helped people, you know how good it makes you feel when you do something good for somebody. You know, we talked about last week in the book of James, it says, you know, faith without works is dead. And I believe that works the same way with the Holy Spirit. If we're not using the Holy Spirit to uplift and edify and help other people, I believe we're quenching the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that God places people on everybody's heart, you know, and when God prompts us and we see a need in somebody's life, or we see somebody that needs some encouragement and we don't do it, I think that is quenching the Holy Spirit. You know, we are meant to do good works through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment, to love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So our love for one another and our encouragement towards one another proves to the world that God is real and his love is real. You know, a lot of people don't come to church anymore. They may have came one or two times and quit coming because they didn't get the encouragement. They didn't get the motivation that they came to get. We're supposed to be examples of God's love. We're supposed to love one another and lift each other up. And we can't prove God's love to the world without gathering together as a church. You know, God's church is not a building. It's us. It's his people. It's his people gathered together. We are the church. Like Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he calls us living stones. It says, "And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God." So we're supposed to be living stones, encouraging one another. And we're supposed to be the body of Christ. You know, we call the church the body of Christ all the time. But you know, if I'm sitting at home by myself, I can't be the body. You know, each of us is just a little part of the body. The only time we become the body of Christ is when we're gathered together in one spirit and one mind to be the body. You know, if we're all separated, you know, we might have a toe over here or an ear over there. You know, that don't accomplish a lot by itself. But when we come together and we unify and we become the body of Christ, that's where we can do great things together. By ourselves, we can't do that much. But when we get together, we can accomplish a lot. You know, God gave us those pictures in Scripture, you know, as being the bricks in the building or being the body of Christ to show us how much we need each other. You know, if you got a pile of bricks at home, you can't do a whole lot with it. It's not nothing to look at. It's just an eyesore, and it don't accomplish anything. But if you put a little mortar between those things, which is the Holy Spirit, and you fit all those bricks together, then somebody can go in there and live. You know, it becomes a house. Just like all the body parts can't do anything one by itself, but you put them all together, and then they can accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. So just like a building needs its bricks and a body needs all its parts, you know, we need each other to keep us motivated and to keep us encouraged. You know, life's problems are too much to do on our own. Even if it's our decision not to come to church or to quit fellowship, and that's what we want to do at the time, and that's what we think is going to make us happy. You know, I've been there, but it's only a matter of time before we start thinking, and it's nobody's fault, but we'll start thinking that nobody loves me, and then eventually we'll start thinking God don't love me either. You know, that's how the devil works. Even though it was our idea to stay home, we'll start blaming other people because we're not around them. Well, nobody checks on me. Nobody loves me. And they didn't have anything to do with it. We chose ourselves to stay home. And it's all through Scripture. Even Elijah, the prophet, right after his biggest victory, you know, on Mount Carmel, where he called down fire from heaven, right after that, he got so depressed, he wanted to die. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 and 4, it says, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life, and he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. So that's how we get, you know, when we quit fellowshipping and we quit coming to church and hanging out with our church family, we start thinking nobody cares about us. And we get depressed and we think, well, we might just die. And we start feeling all alone. But just like God told Elijah in verse 18 of the same chapter, you know, he pretty much let him know, you're not alone. You made that choice yourself. In verse 18, he tells him there's 7,000 people left in the church. You're not alone. And I guess that's why I'm trying to encourage you with today. You know, you're not alone either. That's why it's called a church family. Families go through things together. And you don't have to face things alone. You know, we all have problems. That's why we have Celebrate Recovery here on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. You know, we talk about our problems. We learn what would work. You know, what has worked for me? And I'll tell you, you know, goes back to those verses we were talking about. Iron sharpens iron. We get together and discuss our problems. If you're going through any problems, that's a good place to start, is Celebrate Recovery. That's why we have youth on Monday night. You know, our kids have just as many problems as we do, if not more. I can't imagine growing up in today's society. I'm glad I grew up when I did. You know, we didn't have the things to worry about back then that they have to worry with now. So that's why we have the youth group on Monday night. You know, they help them to deal with their problems so they don't have to deal with them their own. You know, teenage cutting and suicide and stuff like that is through the roof right now. The kids need, they need all the help they can get. And not just the kids, we need all the help we can get too. That's why we have small groups here on Wednesday night, you know, so people can get together. That's why we have the Breaking the Cycles class out there to help people overcome the things in their life, the things that life throws at you, and encourage one another. And, you know, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, is to stay away from God's people and isolate yourself so you'll get weaker and weaker and weaker, and you'll become an easy prey for him. You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it's talking about our enemy. It says, stay alert, watch out, for your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, you're easy prey when you're by yourself. That's, you know, when a wolf is attacking a sheep, or any kind of predator is attacking, you know, sheep or deer or whatever. They pick out the ones that are isolated, that got away from the others. They're on the outside of the group, so they're easy prey for the enemy. But it says in verse 9, if we stay connected to our church family, in 1 Peter 5, 9, it says our family all over the world is going through the same things that we are. So we can stand firm against him and be strong in our faith. And when we stand together with our family, we're stronger. You know, when we're by ourselves, we're easy prey. So we need to stay in the pack, like we talked about at our men's conference this year, and not be the lone wolf. Not be easy prey for the enemy. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, is a really good example of this. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, and three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Like I said, life is not easy. The enemy's always going to be throwing stuff at you, and we are definitely a whole lot stronger when we're together. You don't have to go through things alone. You know, most of the time when we think of someone who needs encouragement, or maybe somebody that's just a little down or having a bad day, but there are people out there that are really hurting, you know. There are people out there that are giving up. They're thinking nobody cares. They're thinking God don't care. You know, some of them are even to the point of giving up on life itself. And it's important for us to reach out to those people and to let them know that somebody sees them. You know, Satan's plan is not just to discourage you a little bit so you can have a bad day. It says in John 10:10, it says the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. You know, he's not here just so you'll have a bad day. He wants to completely destroy you in every part of your life and everybody in your life. His plan ain't to discourage you. It is to destroy you. And it's up to us as Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ to lift each other up. You know, we need to have compassion for one another when we see each other struggling. You know, it says in Jude, the 22nd verse of Jude, it says Jude 1. I don't know why they wrote that in the Bible as Jude 1. There's only one chapter to Jude. But in the 22nd verse, it says, and some, having compassion, make a difference. You know, so we have to have the Holy Spirit in us, and we need to be active in the Holy Spirit so we'll have compassion. And it says those that have compassion make a difference. You know, you can make a difference in somebody's life. It's our responsibility to make that difference. You know, like we studied a few weeks ago, if you were here, we were talking about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, you know, he calls us ambassadors for Christ. God puts that responsibility on us. And it says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You know, so if you see somebody that has wandered away and they're hurting because of it and they're going back to their old lifestyle or whatever, the Bible says God has given that ministry to us. We need to reach out to them and say, come back to God, and he'll help you get out of that instead of leaving them where they are. You know, our faith is in God, but it is our responsibility to encourage one another and to lift each other up when we're down. And I know everybody knows somebody that was coming to church before COVID that is not coming now. And I would like to encourage everybody to think of somebody that you used to see in church and you don't see them anymore. You know, reach out to them, call them or text them or something and see how they're doing. You know, not to invite them to church, just to check on them and let them know that somebody loves them. You know, we're not here to build up Grace Community Church, but we are here to build up the body of Christ. So if you think of somebody, if God's been laying somebody on your heart or bringing them to your mind, he's doing that for a reason. He wants you to reach out to him and let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know they matter and somebody cares. You know, there's a lot of people out there that think nobody cares about them. I mean, I know a lot of people, and my mom knows a lot of people too, that nobody ever calls them. They live alone. You know, nobody ever checks on them. Nobody ever goes to their house. They never have company. You know, those people need some encouragement. They need somebody to let them know they're not invisible. And that they're not unloved. We need to let them know God loves you, and so do we, you know. And a lot of people think that they're useless, because the world tells them that. You know, when you stop becoming useful in this world and you don't have anything to offer this world, it just chews you up and spits you out. You know, the world don't care about you. And that is just, to me, that is just so sad. It shouldn't be like that. You know, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be like Jesus Christ. We should reach out to those people and let them know that they do matter and somebody does see them. You know, Jesus didn't ask anything from us when he came to do what he did for us. You know, he didn't even wait for us to get it right. It wasn't something that we earned. You know, it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. I always thought it was neat in 1 Peter 5, 8, the enemy's roaring around trying to kill us. And in Romans 5, 8, Jesus is trying to give us life. You know, that's the two camps there is. There's the camp of the enemy and the camp of Jesus Christ. One is death and one is life. And all those people out there that have no hope, you know, especially the elderly or the sick or whatever, that can't get out and can't do anything, we need to reach out to those people and let them know that they're not invisible and somebody does love them. Because God loved us when we had nothing to offer. You know, life is hard enough. Let's try to make it easier on each other. You know, let's compliment each other. Let's lift each other up and encourage one another. And I know for a fact that when you start trying to encourage other people and brighten their day, it's gonna brighten your day. It always brightens mine. When I'm having a bad day, it really helps me to think about somebody I know that is struggling with something, and just reaching out to them and trying to encourage them, it brightens my day up. It helps me out. And that's what we're supposed to do. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, you know, Paul's telling us that we should bear one another's burdens. He says, share each other's burdens, and this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. And I'm glad God put that verse in there, because I think when God puts somebody on your heart, you should reach out to that person and do what you can to help them. I don't think we should see ourselves above anybody, no matter what kind of shape they're in. You know, I do believe if we're going to call ourselves Christ followers, it's our responsibility to reach out to them and to help them if we can. And helping other people, you know, it'll help you get rid of your depression, your bitterness, and you'll start noticing God moving in your life again. You know, I know times that when I was separated from God and I was coming back into the church serving God, you know, it helped me start seeing God moving in my life again, and started getting the joy of God back in my life again. Makes the Holy Spirit come alive in you. You know, it's springtime. Let's start doing more stuff together as a church family. You know, it's getting time now where we can start doing things outside. We can start having cookouts and bonfires and all that stuff. And I think it's important that we make time for that kind of stuff, to enjoy one another and laugh with each other. I mean, serving God sometimes is very serious business, because people deal with some serious stuff. But I don't think God wants us to be just super serious all the time. He wants us to enjoy being around one another and to laugh and cut up and have fun and get to know one another. You can't hardly get to know somebody on Sunday morning shaking hands. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? You know, we don't get to spend any time together. But like I said, it's springtime now. I think we should start getting involved in some gatherings and get to know one another. You know, that's how we find out if you got something you need fixed on your house, or if you need help working on your car, or just stuff like that, so we can actually help each other and be the family that we're supposed to be. So let's quit letting the enemy divide us and steal our joy and steal our purpose. I know in the last part of the verse we read earlier, I only read the first part. In John 10:10, you know, it said the enemy comes to kill and to steal and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You know, and if that was Jesus' purpose, we're supposed to be like Jesus. That's our purpose. We're supposed to be helping each other to have a rich and a satisfying life. Like we talked about earlier in 2 Corinthians, you know, God don't bless us just so we'll be blessed. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And I don't know, I just hope that encourages somebody to be encouraging, to reach out to people. And if you're one of the people that needs encouragement, I just want you to know that there are people here that will help you, no matter what you're going through. You know, nobody has to sit at home alone and worry about their problems. There is help out here, and I just encourage everybody to take that help. Or if you see somebody that needs help, I encourage you to be the one that helps them. And I know God will bless you for that. And it's a huge blessing. A lot of times when I'm trying to help somebody, I believe that winds up helping me more than it helps them. But that's all I had for tonight. I just wanted to share that with you. I hope it motivates you to be an encourager. And I hope if you need motivation, that it will encourage you to get into the family of God where you can be encouraged and let you know that you're not alone. But thank you for showing up. And for y'all online, thank you for watching online. I guess I'll go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for helping me to share this message. I just pray for everybody that's here tonight, Lord, that you would bless them, help them to get home safely. And I pray for all those that are tuning in and watching online, Lord. I just pray that you would let them know that they still do have a family here at the church. And if they have needs, Lord, I pray that they would call or come in and talk to somebody about those needs, Lord. And so we'd be able to minister to them, Lord, and let them know that you love them and that we love them and that there is help available. I don't want anybody to feel like they have to go through things alone. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just touch them right where they are, Lord, and let them know that there is help available. Father, we just thank you that you are a good, good Father and that you're always there to help us in time of need. And we just praise you for that. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.